All right, let's get serious now and join our guest, Kevin Shimoda, author of the first super app to help preview Tencent earnings. And we should mention that Kevin was formerly an executive at WeChat, which is, of course, owned by Tencent. So quite extraordinary here, Kevin. We are expecting to see the first quarterly fall in terms of revenue for Tencent, so the first quarter of negative revenue growth. When you look at third quarter 20, I mean, we saw 29% growth there. It's gone down substantially during the pandemic, and we know that Tencent's advertising segments have been impacted by China's COVID zero policies. What are you expecting here, and I guess how does Tencent turn things around?
Well, Juliet, first off, thanks for having me. I won't share my favorite Elvis song, but I've been listening to a lot of their music recently. So thanks for having me. I expect Tencent to be lying low and be happy to have one of their first quarters of negative revenues and negative earnings. I think Tencent, what they've always done well is government relations. And right now the government crackdown is nearing an end, but Tencent is all about lying low, staying out of the limelight, and trying not to attract any ire from the Chinese government. So I expect them to continue to lie low and be working on things like the metaverse and where social interactions will be in the future. But I think they're going to be kind of happily lying low during all of this, I guess, like the pandemic, government crackdown, and new government relation or government policies, which are pretty unclear still.
We've been reporting about the potential divestment of Tencent's stake in Meituan, and Morgan Stanley saying that could help perhaps it to unlock some hidden investment value. We've got Tencent currently holding around 17% of Meituan, the value of its stake worth about $24 billion. Is that a fair assessment if we do see Tencent sell down that stake?
Yeah, I think I could see them kind of, I've seen them slashing hires. I see them doing a lot of cost cutting. So removing the fat from all of their industries and trying to reduce where, especially in places like ads or gaming for the domestic market, and even WeChat, their golden kind of product for a long time, they're doing firings and they're cutting costs everywhere they can. I could see them divesting from Meituan, especially as antitrust regulations continue to increase and they have their fingers in a few too many pies, and maybe they'll be divesting from that as China's market is kind of cooling off in favor of more investments overseas in other gaming companies overseas. I could see something like that happening, or in favor of more investments in things like the metaverse or immersive reality, immersive experiences.
So just speaking of expansion and trying to expand globally, why do you think Tencent perhaps hasn't done as well as perhaps many analysts had expected it would on a global stage?
Yeah, great question. After working there for 4 years and being on the inside, I'm fluent in Mandarin, and Tencent is a very Chinese company. And they know China very well. They know Chinese consumers very well, but they're very humble in how much they understand the global consumer, and they're not very confident in addressing users overseas and seeing to the needs of overseas users. And Tencent's strategy has always been pretty clear. They invest globally and they launch locally. So what they'll do is they'll buy a game overseas, like Riot Games, League of Legends, Valorant, very successful game studio. They just let them do whatever they're doing globally, which works. And then they go, we're going to launch your game in China and publish in China. That's kind of been this secret to success for Tencent. They kind of own the China market, but they're very humble in their global ambitions. I see them continue to do that.
All right. I wanted to ask as well some of the research that you've been doing, Kevin, in terms of some of the other big, I guess, apps that we follow, the likes of TikTok, owned by ByteDance, Shein, which is huge here, I have to say, in Southeast Asia. You say these are examples of apps that have integrated the best of the East and the West. What products kind of come next here, and do we see a super app in the West?
Oh, perfect question, Juliet. That is the crux of my whole book called The First Super App. Well, I guess what I kind of see is the next generation of apps, just kind of like you're saying, is going to be ones that combine the best of the East and the West, the best of China and global. China has developed their own internet with its own unique aspects, its own consumer standards. And when you make an app in China, it's different than when you make an app designed for the West. And that's why Tencent struggles to go global, because they get China, but they don't get the West. Now, what ByteDance and Shein has done is amazing. They have talent that kind of they are able to be on both sides of the great firewall of China. They're able to make an app that utilizes these best practices of these super apps and combining all these services into one and making it still very user-friendly despite being so huge. And then being able to launch that and make it localized and applicable to users overseas. And now we see ByteDance, we see TikTok and Shein going global and just taking the world by storm. I see super apps going to happen internationally, whether that's going to be a Western company kind of emulating and copying what WeChat has done, or a Chinese company going global with some of these standards that WeChat has set.
All right, Kevin, great to get your insights. Thank you so much for joining us. That is Kevin Shimoda, author of The First Super App, joining us from Sydney here on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.